And we're live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 21 of Beyond Retro. I am Joe Amato, and I'm here with Nasty Nate, Nathan Kennedy, and we don't have Tyler Ray yet. Tyler is going to join us, but until he does, we'll hold off on the American Gladiator talk. Don't you worry, me and Nathan will do some other stuff. So what's up, Nathan? How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. I stayed up until 7 a.m. this morning
playing. And what was that again? Playing some old games, new games, what?
I was playing Fortnite, the Battle Royale mode in it that's free on PS4. It's kind of like PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. It's like one of those two are like the it games right now. Thought I'd give it a shot, and then my friend joined in, and I don't want to say I was addicted to it, but I just really lost track of time. And I know I don't look that old, and when I tell you that I'm 33, that doesn't sound that old, but when I think about all those nights and weekends when I was a teenager, I would just stay up and all night, sleep like 2 hours, and I was fine. Now, if I do that now, it just pains me so much.
You have that feeling like from Lethal Weapon where you say, oh, that's weird, I heard an echo when I'm talking. Oh, I hear an echo. Oh,
here we go.
Well, let's see what happens when I talk now. Okay, no echo now.
I'll keep the volume on my end turned down a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know why it does that.
That's the first time that's happened to us.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it makes weird things. But, yeah, like, you know, you're getting too old for this shit. That's what I was going to say. But, no, you know what's weird is back in the day when I played video games, even I didn't stay up, like, too late.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if I'm sounding a little stuttering, but damn it, why is this echo going on? I'm hearing the echo, and I hate hearing my voice twice. It just drives me nuts because I'm hearing myself. Well, hello to Jake Juggalo in the chat room. And if you hear an echo, why don't you type something? I just want to make sure it's not.
Yeah,
just
let us know. Because I have the volume on my end turned down, and I've moved the microphone up too. So I don't know why it would be picking up.
Yeah, always the weird stuff with some of this crap sometimes. Right there, it sounded like it's gone. Good. But, no, back in the day, like I said, I was always good at playing video games, but I never stayed up late or you know, like into the middle of night playing. I had a knack for them, kind of like caught on to patterns quickly, it seemed like, so I could play a game, beat it good, bam, it sat there. And then I would just save my money, I would save lunch money. I wouldn't even spend the whole amount on a real lunch. I would just, like, buy a bag of chips, and I'd save a dollar, and then I'd have $5 at the end of the week, and I would just saving.
Hey, no, I did the same thing in high school. I would actually just bare minimum, I would save money, and then a couple months, you go buy a video game.
Yeah, and it was see, the thing is, like, nowadays, like, you know, they sometimes have those discs, or you can download or these emulators or whatever, but you can have just hundreds of games at your fingertips, and you start a game, don't like it, like, the kids just fly past, let's go to another one. It's like, man, when we got our game, we played it into the ground, because it's like, okay, if we're spending 40, 50 bucks, we're going to put all our effort into that one game, you know, and just keep playing it, and playing, like, I was on a kick. I'll show some of them. Like, you can't beat DuckTales 2, and, like, oh, even, man. You know, yeah,
no, dude, that game, like, I have it, like, just cartridge only. I found it at a pawn shop for $2. That game is worth a lot of money, and you have it boxed.
Really?
Yeah, no. Yeah, DuckTales 2 is, you need to, here,
okay.
I'll look it up on eBay right now for you.
You know, that's the weird thing. It's because since I've had these games since I was a kid, I have no need to look them up to buy them. And I'm not somebody that's in the market of usually just buying old school games. So I actually don't know the values of the games I have, from Nintendo to Master System, Genesis, any of them. I have no clue.
No, yeah, just keep going through your pile there. Right, yeah, well, like, just the cartridge only is like $250 on some of these auctions.
You're kidding, $250 for just the cartridge?
Mm-hmm.
And you found yours for $2, you said, at a yard sale?
No, at a pawn shop. I went in there, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
They didn't even know what they had, huh? Damn, I had no clue. I wonder what it'd be like in a box. But, well, nobody's seen this, in case people know where I live. This is just a figment of your imagination. I actually don't have this. I just I printed out a box. Yeah, that's it. I printed out a box. But, so I was on just a kind of an old-school Disney kit. there was that. You remember the first one, Chippendales and stuff? Then
yeah.
Castle of Illusion on Genesis. Freaking awesome game if you never played it. Also, Quackshot. This game is so freaking cool on Genesis because I'm leading up to something. World of Illusion. Damn, was this fun, especially because you could even do a two-player mode where there's certain levels that they had just for like when you play with two players to get the spots differently. But yeah. Then it comes to this. Comes to this hot mess Fantasia for Genesis. Damn.
Did Capcom do all of those games or only a couple?
No. They did the maybe Mickey's Magical Quest. I think that's what it's called, which that was a fun game. That was on, I think, Genesis and Super Nintendo. And okay. I know Capcom did the Aladdin version for Super Nintendo, but Sega and Disney did the Genesis one, which was just nuts. I mean, the one on Super Nintendo was fun, but the Disney one that was on Genesis, they weren't even the same game. They were two different makers, and it really showed how great the Genesis one was. But no, the Castle of Illusion, this was just Sega. World of Illusion, just Sega. Quackshot, just Sega. And Fantasia, I mean, this was Sega, but I can't remember who else might have helped, but man, it was a letdown because it looked really good. Like, the graphics looked pretty good. And oh, let me just say hello to Tamara Shipper in the chat room. So thank you for joining us. So, but no, this one, it had nice graphics, but damn, it really had clunky play. And I was always one of them people that I never liked hearing when a video game reviewer would say, man, this had clunky play. I didn't like how it felt. And they gave it a bad review because I was like, learn to play the game with the mechanics and controls. You can pick up with it, which I did, but that really didn't even help with Fantasia. This was just, it was not fun, especially if you got used to, like, the, you know, Quackshot, Castle of Illusion, DuckTales 2. Like, there's a certain flow of the game. Like, it was fun to play and also challenging. This just, it wasn't fun. I remember when I played it, I felt like it was a chore. Like, oh, and here we go. I think we got T-Rex.
Yeah, we got some live prepping.
Yeah. He's getting there. He is. What's up, T-Rex?
Oh God! this Sunday overall, one hell of a lot better than last week.
Yeah, you were pretty wiped out, and you had a little bit of bug or flu bug, or what'd you have there?
It was a flu-like bug. I had with vomiting, diarrhea, body aches, chills. It was a whole package of stuff. So. Other than congestion and sinus infection, I had it all, so.
Well, at least you're feeling better now, though, right?
Oh, yeah, no, I've been to the gym, my appetite's back, you know, I don't have any body aches, and I still kind of feel a little nauseated in my stomach. My stomach has not quite gotten back to normal completely, but it's, I was in bad shape for a couple of days, guys. I really was, man. So I didn't promote Fans of Power, I didn't do any promoting of anything. I was just like, I didn't want to do nothing. I just laid in bed and watched Frasier for 48 hours straight.
That's fine, man. No, I mean, it hit us all. I remember it got me first, then got Nathan, then got you. And like I said, that's all I see in the news is talking about this damn flu epidemic that just went around the entire United States.
Yeah, but I didn't have the stomach part of it. I wasn't like puking and shitting everywhere.
I think I didn't have that, but I just had the...
in my bed and everything, guys. Man, It was just like just laying there, like, man, my stomach is like, oh my God, it just kind of fell out. Now I gotta.
Oh, I guess you did have it worse than me, me and Nathan. I mean, I just had it, you know, feel like somebody injected me with something that just took all my energy out. I mean, I was just drained of energy in it, but I didn't have the shits in
either. It was, I didn't actually step out of the house again until I guess it was. Sometime late Thursday afternoon, because it was so sunny and warm outside, and I'm inside freezing. And so,
I couldn't think of a better way for you to jump in, because we started the episode. Joe and I are talking about video games. He's going through this little stack of some boxed games that he has, and then you pop in. You're like, I've had the shits, and I've been puking, and I shit in my bed. And like, we're not topping that.
I've
That's great. No, because there you go. Well, now you know, because we were just talking. We were done. Well, Anyways, we were just talking about some good old games, and I mentioned the shittiest of the Disney games, and I was like, yeah, this Genesis game is shitty. And here came you, and you're talking about shits and everything. Well, well, I don't know what to take it from. Nathan, go, because I don't know what to say.
I'm going by what Nathan said. You know,
that, well, that's going to be out on the internet forever.
Wait, it's a good thing he didn't come on and be like, ah, fuck the fans. I don't really like them anyways. Oh, we're live. Hey, I was just joking. I love you fuckers.
I guess we should have told you that we were live. I guess there wasn't an indication on your phone or something that you were.
Because I was thinking, damn, Tyler's just laid back. I was thinking, Tyler's laid back. He don't care if he shit at the bed. Fucking, I don't care. I was like, damn, Tyler, all right, props to you.
If anybody that watches this or you guys, you know, if you're going to sit and pretend that you haven't dealt with something remotely close to what I dealt with this past week, yeah, you're all full of shit. You know?
Yeah.
No, I'm not trying to make light of you feeling bad, but just the fact that you didn't know we were live and you just said all that stuff, it just...
Yeah. I'm not taking it back, obviously. I'm not going to sit and pretend. It's like, no, it happened. I was in bad shape, guys. I'm laying in bed just... And I'm like, oh God, now I gotta get up and pull this off and wash it. And oh great, now that happened again. I gotta pull that and wash that. And...
Well, hey, if anything, in the chat room, at least people were with you. Like JSP said, that's one of those bugs where your entire midsection feels like a giant hand squeezed the life out of you. And then he said, that's what I love about this podcast. He said, it feels like a bunch of guys hanging out instead of just a show. And you're damn right. That's what it is. I mean, we're just here just having fun. Like I said, we'll talk about stuff, random stuff, and glad you got a kick out of it, because this stuff is what makes it even funner for me. Is this just random live? You never know what's going to happen. I love it. Yeah.
Oh. Joe was taking advantage of, hey, Tyler's not here. Let's talk video games.
Hey, no, that's what I did, too. I said it. I said, Nathan, I said, well, Tyler is going to become in late. I said, and he was talking about he slept in. I mean, he was late getting up because he was playing games all night. I was like, let's just do a little bit of talking about video games, because I know Tyler doesn't flip out about it, so... We were just talking about some random games. I was talking about some of the good Disney ones and then the crap one. And then Q Tyler, you popped up right when got to this one here, which was bad. If anybody's ever played, hey, if I'm wrong and you love Fantasia, more power to you. But I did not enjoy the flow of this game at all. So I guess where it left off. So I'll pass it to Nathan, see what you want to do. And we can get the Gladiators coming up.
Yeah, this week, it was kind of up in the air again. You know, Tyler's feeling kind of bad. And I was like, hey, man, you're going to be up for this. And he was like, yep, I'm good to go. But if he wasn't, then the plan was Joe and I were just going to kind of bullshit about video games for an hour and a half. But this week is American Gladiators. I'll go ahead and kick it over to Tyler because we've been talking too much.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it. I'm just glad to be here. I know that I'm not feeling miserable or anything like that in any shape or form. But, hopefully people who listen to this, either, you know, I don't know if people outside of the States are familiar with this show, but this was a real popular show of the 90s of regular athletic civilians. Men and women would come onto this show to compete against essentially athletic big bodybuilders, like big power lifters, big, you know, big muscular men and women in an assortment of these real kick-ass games, from, you know, firing cannons and crawling around in giant spheres and jousting with big sticks and stuff like that. It was American Gladiators. It was a real popular show in the States. I'm assuming people in the States have heard of it, you know. And it was hosted by Mike Adamly, and for that brief time, the guy with the mullet. Nathan, can't remember his name. I can't remember his
Todd Christensen, I believe.
Yeah. And,
well, before him, it was Joe Theismann hung around for, I think, like half of that first season. And then it was Todd Christensen. And then after that is kind of the co-host that everyone remembers, and Larry Zonka.
Yeah. But for me, it was I had heard of the show, but I never could see it, and I didn't see it, I think, actually in action until I saw it on Family Matters when Carl and Urkel, American Gladiators. That was the first time I actually got to see the show in action.
No kidding.
In our area, I don't know, you know, I told Nathan, I said I eventually would see it on the USA Network in syndication in the summertime, which is how me and my brother got to watch it. But I never saw it on NBC or USA at any other time. So Family Matters was like the first I'm getting to see the actual show. And I had commercials for the toys and the show itself, but I could not figure out when the hell it ever came on.
I remember it in like two time slots. One of them was like after the nightly news, like at the 11 o'clock news. So it would be late on the weekends. And then I want to say either on NBC or something like on Sundays in the afternoon, I remember. Obviously, I remember it being on USA all the time because they would just run that in a big block. But
they play like two episodes back to back.
Yeah, that was kind of my first exposure to it, was catching it after the news one night, and I'm, like, barely staying awake, and I look, and I'm like, what is this? And, you know, there's assault, and you're just seeing this person, like, using the different contraptions, and I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And then I would stay up late every week. I think it was, like, Friday nights, and I would stay up late. Is that show going to come back on again? And it would, so that's how I kind of got into watching that.
It's amazing that, you know, it's funny. I guess I don't have to bring it up now because I was going to say, you guys remember when they were on on Family Matters, and that's Tyler's first experience. I mean, how great is that? Because I love seeing that too. But no, I remember watching it when it was just live on TV. I don't know if it was like NBC. I don't know the network that had it when it was just on the first time, but I just always remembered watching it when it would, you know, be live. I don't remember the USA, you know, syndication. I'm assuming that was syndication on USA, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because maybe it's because I just watched it the other way. But, damn, I mean, such a fun show because, I mean, it's like a colorful cast of characters that, you know, of course, I was all into wrestling like many people were. And I felt like, you know, well, obviously they had character names like Malibu, Titan, Gemini, Turbo, Nitro, you know. And then the girls, you know, had Blaze, you had Diamond, Lace, and Zap. And they felt like larger in life characters. So you felt like, you know, you kind of had your wrestling, but now in a whole different reality and realm of these characters and people like us, just normal people who could go on as contestants to try to win, you know, to beat the American Gladiators. And all those different events, I can't think of one that I hated. I mean, maybe if somebody says something pops up, like, you know, maybe I didn't care for that event too much, but I lived them all. I mean, from Human Cannonball, where you got onto that rope and you flew down and your goal was to, boom, try to knock the gladiator off the pedestal. To, like you said, assault, where you're going through from a crossbow and then like a gun, a cannon, a cannonball, bazooka. And then if you made it all the way towards the end, Paul, you're left with like three tennis balls.
Yeah.
Grenades.
Oh, good. Yeah. Grenades. I loved it though when somebody could get that first damn shot, that lucky shot with that crossbow. Like, boom, it was already over. Like, they hit the damn target. It's just, man, every event on that. I can't think of one I didn't like, but those were my favorites. I loved watching Joust because sometimes you would see, I don't know if it was that big sucker Thunder. There was some big boys on there.
I was asking, I didn't even remember Thunder because I remember Thunder was someone that was made an impression on me. He wasn't my favorite, but he's one of that essential group of gladiators that was always on there when I started watching it.
Yes, and for me too, he made an impression because I knew, like, you know, the original cast, we've seen so much, but when that big sucker came on, it's like, damn, I mean, that's a big dude. I mean, and more thinking, God, he looks like he could be in WWF at the time. But I was like, when there was like the big ones that could be on that joust, and you see that the contestants trying to whack them and there's nothing, there's no effect. You're like,
standing there like, okay.
Like, you ain't getting them off. But, man, when they would fight and they could get them off or get them off their balance. I mean, there's even times it looked like the gladiators got pissed. Like, if they crossed the pedestal and they'd get into the contestants' faces. I always like when it seemed like there's heat. And I think the other one that I got a kick out of was Powerball. Just trying to watch them go past the gladiators and, boom, the ball into the
spot. It was almost kind of not fair because it was the two contestants and three of the gladiators. And, yeah, they're running around. But, like, you would just see some of those contestants just get like just drilled into the ground.
Did some even get hurt to where it looked like they couldn't continue?
Yeah, they would. They would always have reserve contenders because it wasn't uncommon for a female or male contestant to get hurt. So they would bring in somebody to fill in, and they would carry on their points. And it was almost kind of unfair at times because that meant a fresh new contestant was not so burnt out from everything, could go on and possibly win the whole thing, when they didn't have to compete through the whole thing.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I agree. And you need
almost unfair.
No, it did. I mean, it was unfair. And not only that is, you know, obviously the object was you'd always see a gladiator facing off on one side with one the other. And then there was that one in the middle that you could say is the straggler who is mainly supposed to, you would think, guard the middle target because that had the most points. But that was never the case. They always ended up double teaming. It seemed like they would sometimes, they even look like they pissed at the contestants. They'd sometimes just target a particular contestant. There was always that one that would go real quick, bam, go bam. And then somebody would try to follow the leader, like they would try to get on the same side and wait for the one guy to run out because they know he'd get tag team and go over. But you, I'm sure you've seen it where the Gladiators would tag team one person in particular.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like they were getting ready to do the heart attack finishing move from the Heart Foundation. The guy would just, like, wrap around the other guy, just jump and clothesline him off or something.
Yeah, they did. They got nasty. Also, let me just say hello to SSJ Mitz in the chat room. So yep. Thank you.
That's the guy who was playing Fortnite with me until 7 a.m. this morning.
Oh, was it? Was he the one that did the test run also with you for Beyond Retro when you first were? Yeah, yep. That's okay.
He's getting everything set up. He was the guy that did the little test video with me.
There you go. All right, but no, so those are some of the ones that stuck on my head, but what are some of your crazy events that maybe stuck on your head? Now we can, of course, talk about some of our favorite gladiators, but what were some of your guys' events?
I'd say for me, I think probably, I mean, like as a top three, assault, because I was getting so excited, hoping somebody would at least hit the target. That was always such a big deal. And of course, to watch the gladiators actually use the tennis ball cannon and actually hit, and then see their instant replay where the ball hit him in the ankle or in the shoulder or something. Jout. And then, because there were so many good ones. Like, I mean, but they're really, like Joe said, there really wasn't a bad game, but I might have to throw in, because it's a toss up between the Maze and Breakthrough and Conquer.
Yeah.
It's just because there were such cool games, but man, and Hang Tough was another awesome one too. I'll probably go along with Breakthrough and Conquer because of the combo of the football and wrestling. And I'm not a football fan, but it was fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I might give God, but the Maze was so much fun too, because that you'd watch the overhead view and see a contender getting ready to run into one gladiator. Oh my God, he's gonna run into Thunder. He's gonna maul the hell out of him. You know, it was so cool. And then sometimes neither one of them would get out of the maze. They'd have a minute to get through that maze, and sometimes one of them would make it through easily. The other one just had no luck. So I'm just going to say it's a toss between Maze and Breakthrough and Conquer, because it would be so cool in Breakthrough and Conquer, because on occasion somebody would get past the Gladiator and Breakthrough, and they would get the Gladiator out of the wrestling ring and Conquer. So you're like, oh my God, I mean, this just doesn't happen that much.
Yeah, it was pretty rare. With Breakthrough and Conquer, that they would get through that. Because, I mean, most of the time, like, some of those contestants were kind of jacked, but compared to the Gladiators, they look like me standing next to Tyler. I mean, it's true. It is. Tyler always laughs. He's like, man, you would have been so good on that show. You would have just been, like, pissed off the whole time.
Nathan have been throwing fits. They would have had to, like, they would have had to stop filming the show, because Nathan won't stop cussing while they're filming. And it'd have been so great to see them, like, grab Nathan and throw him off to the side, and then Nathan would lose his temper, jump on Gemini's back, and
I'm sure Nitro and I would have got along.
Oh God,
really well.
He was my least favorite. He was, I don't know, you're right. We were thinking about all the different gladiators. I mean, Gemini, to me, he always felt like the battle veteran to me. He always felt like the one that, to me, I consider Gemini like the leader. He looked like the leader. He looked like he was the oldest. Like, he knew what he had to do. Then there was like Malibu. I just didn't get into Malibu. He felt too surfy to me. And I come from an area where, what's that?
No, I was just going to say he had that look to him, just like confused. Yeah.
I just
the game too, Joe. That's Motaro from Mortal Kombat 2, the movie.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Yeah.
I learned something new every day. That's what I love about the damn podcast too. I'm always learning. But no, I didn't like him. It's just I couldn't relate. I couldn't connect, and I was never into the surfery Malibu crap type dudes. That was me. But then there was Nitro, and Nitro just seemed like, he seemed like he was a punk. I mean, he seemed like he could be mean and have a nasty attitude. And I was not much of a Nitro fan. I mean, I don't know if you like you said, maybe Nathan would have really got into him, because you both maybe would have had those firecracker nutball attitudes. But I didn't get into Nitro. I don't know about you two, but
I think Nitro for me, I liked him just because it was fun to watch to see what he was going to do next. You would see him just like get mad at the refs, or you know, just really get angry. Like if he was doing joust and he stepped over and he was like, "No, I didn't fucking step over." You just see it in his face.
Right.
He was a loose cannon, and it made it for me. He was one of the aspects that sort of made it must watch. It's like, well, wow, did you see him just like slam that dude like right on top of his neck right here?
It's, I mean, it's like they seemed like characters. That's why I meant, I know they weren't trying to be, I mean, maybe they were, but that's when I started feeling the wrestling feel of it. Cause there was the ones that felt like good guys to me. And there was very few that were bad. And he was the only one that felt bad. It's like the females, I don't know if one was ever trying to act like that, but I always liked watching all the females. Some of them frightened me like Zap. I was like,
that was scary to me.
Yeah.
I just didn't think she was a very pretty begin with, not to mention yet her size to him, like, oh.
Right, that's what I meant. It's like some of the other females, I mean, they're real pretty. They have a nice tone to their body where the muscle didn't seem too much, but Zach freaked me out as a kid. I was like, damn, that's a big woman. I mean, that's a big woman, and she scared the piss out of me. But no, I like Lace and Diamond, and then I think there was others that came on later throughout. There's so many that came out later throughout the series. Like, sometimes it almost looked like, even like during the show, it's like, are her boobs going to pop out? Because they look like they were pretty close. And yes, you know, you're a boy, you're a kid. When you're watching that damn show, when you're a youngster, you're waiting to see breasts pop out. Of course, that would never happen on TV because, you know, it's all edited. But I could dare to dream for looking some, you know, for some of them. But there was just so many damn characters on that show. Because it went on for how many years? You know, I know they did that horrible reboot in the 2000s, but
I think the original run lasted from like 89 to 96, 97, something like that.
The late 90s, yeah. I would surprise to learn that.
Getting excited here. I'm dropping shit. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. We were just saying that, yeah, it lasted just shy of a decade, the original run of it did, which is pretty impressive, which shows you that the show, I mean, it had longevity. I mean, people liked the show. It was a merchandising franchise as well. I mean, there was action figures. They had the Joust toy for little boys to play with. I think they had an assault gun, like one of the some sort of gun that was supposed to be reminiscent of one of the assault weapons. But I think that was really.
I never knew about those.
Yeah,
I never knew about the life props. I knew of, like, you know, how they had the video games for the video game systems, but I didn't know they had actual things you could buy. Yeah.
To coincide with the action figure line, they did Mattel release a Joust stick and one of the assault guns. I mean, you can Google it and probably find it on eBay as well. Because I remember seeing the jousting sticks to buy on a couple occasions. Oh man, it'd been so awesome to have like jousting sticks. Me and my brother would have tore the hell out of those things.
Yeah. What about the action figures? Either of you guys have those? Because I didn't even know about the action figures.
Yeah, I wanted those too. I mean, it wasn't a really. You would think it would have been a much more expanded line, but it's a really short, compact line. I mean, they released two packs of a Gladiator and a Contender. They'd have a red Contender with Laser and a blue Contender with Gemini, or Nitro with a red Contender, and then released the Gladiator separately. Zap was the only female figure they made. And they had the Wall, which I remember buying that at a flea market. And still mint in the box. And it makes it sound like, you know, oh, what would the Wall or the Eliminator look like in toy form? And Mattel didn't really try very hard. They went the cheapest way they possibly could to do, like, this is nothing like the show.
Yeah, I remember seeing it, like, the commercials for it, and then seeing them in person as a kid. I'm just like, man, these are kind of shitty.
Yeah, they were.
And you know, like the contestants and the Gladiator, like it was just very generic from what I remember.
I'm going to have to look these up. I'll have to look them up after we're done. I have no clue about the action figures at all.
Yeah, it's and I remember for the longest time I hadn't seen what the Eliminator looked like. And because I'd only see it in price guides. I'm like, God, I wonder how elaborate that is. Because, I mean, the Eliminator changed so much from the balance beams to the army ropes to the rolling logs, the cargo nets swinging down from a zip line or down a rope and everything. And then all you get is a gladiator sitting on this pedestal, swinging a ball, and you put the contender on this little platform, and you run him over this little rectangular device to avoid the ball being thrown at by the gladiator. And that was it.
That was it.
Yeah.
So pitiful.
Yeah, just thinking, it could have been so much more elaborate if they would have incorporated all. Because, I mean, you know, they had toys that had, like, the zip line stuff.
Yeah.
They could have made the entire Eliminator. It would have been awesome.
Yeah, and I could see Mattel, like Nathan was saying there, is they could have taken the rolling logs as one part. You had to buy, like five pieces, like five sets to make the entire Eliminator to make it an even bigger cash grab. But, hey, I would have rather have done that to have gotten the full-on Eliminator set, even have the ramps that, you know, because they had the belt that the guys had to run up, and they'd have to run up the belt before it, you know, would push them down, or they're trying to push a ball up.
You guys keep going. I'll be back in about 30 seconds. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. No, the funny thing about the beginning of Eliminator when they incorporated that belt is just sometimes, like, the contestant just – fucking sucked at it, and they just eventually just have to walk up that side, you know?
Yeah, which was always sad. Penalty. I'd feel bad for them if they couldn't get up, because most people could, but I'm sure it was a lot harder than it looked.
Yeah, and going back to favorite events, my list would be similar to yours, except I would change out Breakthrough and Conquer and put in Atlasphere, because that was always
yeah
favorite for me.
That was a really cool event, because
God damn it! Sorry about that.
This is the best show.
It's like I said, it's so fucking live. Don't know what's gonna happen. I've dropped this thing about 10 times. Sorry, I'm just getting set. Okay, no, we've had
baseball when that one black NFL player is like, I'm ready to play here in the great city of Miami, Minnesota, whatever, man. Shit. You
know? we've had.
Episode is just shit. You know?
We've had crazy, like, 50-mile-an-hour winds around here. I heard a sound out there. It was a trash can that hit the one side window, but luckily I had a
device over the wind outside.
No, that was just me, but I heard that sound. I'm like, I didn't want to say, what the fuck, here live? So I had to go see, but yeah, it was just a trash can that hit. But it's a plastic one we had, so everything's good.
I'm just going to wait for a trash can to, like, fly through Dave's window and
smack on the face. Like, yeah, it ain't that bad. Boom! Right through the fucking window. But, oh, shit. I don't even know what I was going to say. Oh, well, when we were talking about, you were talking about the Eliminator at the end. I remember how easy they had it, like, in the original season. You know, like you said, you had the thing where you ran up, you go across, you know, you do that goddamn hand bike.
Yeah.
You had to roll across. Yeah, God, that's
yeah. Yeah, that which look, you know, that's tough on the upper body. And then they ran across the rolling beam, and then they eventually get up the cargo net, go slide down, and then they go past all them bags that were going like this. Yeah. And all they did was just jump over and cross the finish line. But then that stuff changed later on, because as you know, the behind they had four like walls of paper to go through. And remember, there was a gladiator. I was like, oh man, are they gonna hit the gladiator? There was always that one contestant you're rooting for, like, please don't get the gladiator. Just go past. But man, if they like bam ran into one of them, and some of them tried to get slick, like jumping over when they go through the paper and hoping they leaped over the gladiators. That got kind of cool later on, because they had it super easy in that original season, or at least the early episode.
Though when they break through that and they run into the gladiator, and the gladiator's just like got them smashed against the wall, and they just kind of like keep doing that to him, and the guy just can't even get through.
Yeah, because you're right. They got really pissed because I didn't think. Like some of those events, like maybe even Breakthrough and Conquer. I can't remember, but I thought there was like some events where they said they weren't the gladiators shouldn't have like been allowed to hold them down. Like they have to let them up. Well, like they can hit them.
It would penalize the gladiators and give the contenders points because yeah, I mean that's what made the show good is that the gladiators are being instructed to beat the contenders. They're not there to. I mean, obviously, they're going to do some stuff for the crowds, but they're instructed to keep them from winning, and they take it personal. They get a little overzealous, and you do see it at times where I was actually watching an episode. I think it was on YouTube, and it was that one game where they had the contenders were up on these phone platforms. They have to grab a ball and bungee down, bungee up, and then put it in a basket when you got two glass coming at you to stop you and push you away from it. and I think it was Tower or Turbo saw a contender delay and wait for the gladiator to jump down, and then he went. And you're supposed, the minute you get that ball, you're supposed to go down into battle immensely. And he caught a hold of that contender and punched him for breaking the rule of, like, you're not supposed to delay. And yes, the contender, and you see it, it's clear as day. He holds back with his left hand and just punches the hell out of the contender for delaying the game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's...
I like to YouTube that. You could probably YouTube that one, huh?
Sure, because they've only released one DVD set, and Turbo and Tower are not on the first Shout Factory release, so I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube. I think it's even listed as Titan or Turbo punches a contender.
Okay.
It's just like American Gladiators, and it was just like one of the videos just kind of popped up at random. So I had to watch that, and yeah, you clearly see him get, you know, that contender get knocked the hell out of. But that's what makes it interesting, is a lot of these guys are, even the women would get really aggressive, not intentionally, but I mean, you got someone there trying to take, you know, points, and because they win a grand prize at the end of the show. I think it's like $10,000. They're moving on to an even bigger round, so to speak. But that's what made it fun, is that it almost come off like the gladiators were being real pricks at times, because they're getting excessively aggressive with the contenders. And Breakthrough and Conquer, I mean, that's, you watch them in the Conquer ring, you're like, good God, man, you just wait for a real fight to break out. Even though you got refs and security and stuff like that right around there to make sure you get too out of control. But the women were just as bad sometimes.
I think that it's going back to the DVD thing real quick. It's a damn shame that they haven't released more of that show. I remember I found that first DVD and I told Tyler, I was like, hey, I bought this. He's like, holy shit, that's awesome. Where'd you get it? And I told him, because they had another copy of it. But that DVD set is just like the first season, but it's got some preliminary stuff that they just sort of have a video package for. And then you get like the rest of that first season. And with Shout Factory being like, to me, I think they're an excellent company with the way that they handle stuff. Like Mystery Science Theater, they've managed to pretty much put out almost every episode and go back and re-release the sets that Rhino had put out. And they're always so good. It's a shame.
When was that released? When did they release it?
I want to say like late 2000s is when that set
came out. Yeah, because I guess what I'm getting at, because I have no clue. It's like, do you guys know, is there a reason that something's holding it up from them releasing all these seasons? I wouldn't see why they wouldn't release them.
It's hard to say.
Maybe it just didn't sell that well. And they were just like, well, it's not worth our time anymore.
Huh. That's a surprise. I mean, you figure, I mean, hell, if they could even put it at $9.99 for a season or whatever, it's like...
That's how much I think me and Nathan both got it for. Like, less at Magic Mart, and that was the only place we ever saw it. We never came across it again after that Magic Mart, not far from where Nathan used to live. And Magic Mart, for people to know, is like a discount version of Walmart and Target.
Yeah, I would say if there was a Roses near you at some point, it's kind of similar to that. I wouldn't put it in the echelon of Hills, but in the same vein.
When did the horrible 2000 version hosted by Hulk Hogan, when did that come out?
Like 2008?
Mid-2000s. I think it was like 2007, I think.
Yeah, it's like 2007, 2008, and that was just bad. I watched the first episode of that. Or I don't even think I watched the first episode. I think to hype it up, they were showing some stuff. Because Tyler and I used to go to the movie theater together all the time to just check out anything, and I think before the trailers they have this little stuff where it's like movie talk, but they had a thing that sort of advertised it, and I'm like, this looks like garbage.
There was something about that version, and I didn't Hogan's my favorite wrestler of all time, but there was just something about seeing him host American Gladiators I wasn't too keen on. I just kind of felt like I miss the not to have Mike Adamley and Larry Zonka, but having them presented as like, you know, sportscasters, you know, whereas like Hogan and Muhammad Ali's daughter were kind of just like celebrity hosts. It came off more like it looked overly polished, and you know, it was more outlandish and kind of more Hollywood, had more of a heavy Hollywood vibe with the outfits and everything. Whereas, you know, the original American Gladiator, everybody's outfits were really simplistic. It was just red, white, and blue colors. You know, everyone kind of had a different outfit, but it wasn't too far from what the others were wearing. Like, all the men were kind of wearing something that was, you know, a variation of what everyone else was wearing. Same thing for the girls. Whereas this one, it was just seemed kind of, you know, a little too much. And I remember watching one episode. I was like, there was just something about it. Gladiators weren't as fun to watch either. I think they were trying too hard to be fun for the camera and stuff.
Yeah. They were really pushing the personality aspect of the gladiators, and it's like, you know, they're over there cutting promos, and in the original, it's just kind of like their actions sort of spoke for themselves. I remember that one guy in the new one, his name was like Wolf or something. Yeah. It's like, I'm Wolf because I got long hair and my mutton chops. And I'm just like, ah, fuck you.
Mike was on there too, who was up to play He-Man at one point in the last 3 years. And it just looked too... too clean. These guys looked like overly polished bodybuilders, and there was a much more simpler and much natural vibe to the gladiators on American Gladiators. They didn't come out looking like, you know, freshly, you know, oiled up and covered and just this and that. It was much more simpler, and you didn't feel like they were trying so hard to impress the cameras. They were occasionally interviewed if they won or something, or if they lost. It wasn't like Nathan said, like we're cutting a promo and don't brighten it up for the audience. You know, hey, look, yeah, I'm really cool. I'm a badass. And the long hair. And
no, you said it. Everything. No, I completely agree. You guys both said it because, sure, in the original American Gladiators, yes, they all had a name. But it wasn't like as much as the gimmicks. It's like it was too theatrical for the new version with Hulk Hogan. You're right. It's like they were becoming these characters, like you said, and maybe talking a certain way. But the other American Gladiators, they were just people that, yes, had their name, but you could see it was real emotion coming from them. Like you said, when they're getting pissed at the contestants and, you know, showing true emotion, not just like faking something. They were there. They were competing too. Their job was, like you said, to stop these people from getting past them, or, you know, they're going head to head. You don't think they wanted to knock the heads off of those damn contestants when they're doing joust? You bet. They were enjoying it. They were being themselves and not being the characters that the newer version was, I think.
Sorry, yeah. If I'm sitting here looking down, I can't remember the name of that other show, because we started talking about how that new one, they're like cutting promos, and they had like that other show that was like the late 90s.
Battle Dome or something like
that? Yeah, where like that had the characters, and those guys were cutting promos all the time. And man, they even like feuded with some guys in WCW. I remember, I want to say like Rick Steiner and shit showed up, and I'm like, what is...
Oh, that's so bad. I don't even know what the hell it is. I'm glad I've never seen it. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I barely know what it is. Like, I it's one of those shows that I never saw it on TV. It was something I heard of like after the fact, and I've seen pictures of it since. I'm like, yeah, that's like, you know, we really want to be American Gladiators, and we didn't make it.
And I mean, and there's proof, because that show didn't last as long, and the Hulk Hogan one didn't, that only lasted what, a season or two?
I don't know if it even lasted. It may have lasted two at max, but I know for one, sure, just one season for sure. And I because I think they even released that entire season. That one was released on DVD. I know you can get that one as well.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
Yeah, I don't. It's never, you know, referenced or anything like that. That newer one with Hogan, it just,
yeah. I think the only one the only thing I liked from the newer one was, I don't know if they called her Cyborg in it, but that Gina Carano or whatever that was in there, I mean, she was hot as hell. I was like, damn, I just want just to see her. And anytime somebody else, I'd go get something to eat. I didn't give a crap. I was like, but I'll watch her. And that is the only reason I watched the new one with Hulk Hogan, was to see her.
I couldn't tell you much of anybody that was in that show other than Wolf and Mike. I think he was Titan. Mike O'Hearn's character was Titan. That's really about it. I that's all I can remember, because Wolf had the outlandish hair with the big mutton chop facial hair and all that stuff. I remember he was like howling around like, this is silly, man.
You know
this...
why I hated him? I hated him because I love the video game. It always comes back to a fucking video game. But because of the video game Virtual Fighter, and my favorite character was Wolf, you know, on that, and he would howl and everything. And I seen this guy Wolf and howl, and I was like, you trying to rip off Wolf from Virtual? I just didn't like him. I hated that damn Wolf from the new American Gladiators.
All right, speaking of video games, we can tie this in because they did release an American Gladiators video game on NES and Super Nintendo, and they're both fucking terrible.
Oh, yeah. Nothing ever worked. Did you ever notice anytime they would try to take anything like that and translate it into a video? It's like, it couldn't work. It just, somehow, there's no way it can, because, you know, you're expecting to have that exact feel of the show, and they just have this slightly off version, and it never captures the feel.
It was a button masher too. I remember with the Eliminator, you basically had to like alternate the buttons to run through it, and it was just so awful, and it wasn't really responsive. I think Tyler told me that he didn't get a chance to play either version of the game.
Yeah, I remember saying as to play it, but I wanted to try it because I'm like, God, I would love to play American Gladiators on Super Nintendo, but I don't think none of the video stores I was around even carried it.
I rented it on Nintendo and played it, and I'm like, this is awful. But then, like, a little while later, I saw the Super Nintendo version. I'm like, well, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. Maybe the Super Nintendo version, like, graphically it'll be improved, maybe mechanically. And it's like they took elements from the NES game and just basically upgraded it a little bit, and it's still the same shitty controls. It's so awful.
Yeah. I always hate button mashers because I remember American Gladiators didn't have the button mashing kind of pace as track and field on Nintendo, because I'm sure, I didn't know if you guys did, because I mean, growing up, you know, right when Nintendo was hot, I knew all the goofy little tricks, but there was the penny trick to when you were doing the track and field, trying to run real quick on Nintendo and track and field. You took a penny, you put it right there, and you just went back and forth like this, like you were scratching, but you go back and forth between button one and two, and they go, I mean, they would just fly. So I tried that with American Gladiators. It didn't have the same feel, because there was also the trick for track and field at the arcade. They had bigger buttons. You didn't use the penny. You take a comb, put it between your fingers, and then tap. And when it hit this one and hit that, it would go down. So you're like, so you'd have the comb trick. I've
never heard of either of those tricks.
Check around, trust me. You talk with some of the lunatic fuckers like me who played all them games back then, they're going to know the penny trick for track and field on Nintendo and the comb trick for the arcade track and field. Trust me, even Google it when we're done. Google penny trick, and I guarantee shit has to pop up. I know it wasn't just me in the neighborhood with, you know, all these people. Everybody did these damn tricks. And
I could see Joe, like, finding out the trick and not divulging it to anybody, and he's just better. And, like, he finds a way to, like, hide the penny, too. So yeah, no one can really see it. And they're just like, oh, his fingers are so fast.
And you know, it's weird. No, it's funny you brought that shit up, because there was so many of my friends that sometimes wouldn't pay attention to the penny. Eventually I told them, but if nobody just happened not to have a penny, they would just take their pointer finger and their thumb like this and try to do it. Bad thing is, back and forth, it just ripped the tips of your fingers up. So you had some really jacked up fingertips, usually really worn and red, sometimes even bleeding if you were that obsessed. But I wouldn't go to the fingers. I had to use a penny, but... What a weird fucking side rant.
I mean, you're talking because the American Gladiators had that concept of the button mashing, except it just that they didn't implement it well. Controlled so bad.
How did the game work? Did you pick a contender, like a red or blue, and then have to pick which events you wanted to beat first?
No. If I remember correctly, you just like enter in a name. They either slap. I don't know if it alternated. I'm pretty sure you didn't get to pick your color. It's just like, here you are, and here's the computer contestant. And the events were randomized. So it's like, oh, you got to do the wall. And you can just see it, like, because you're trying to push the directional pad, and you still have to mash the buttons, and they're just, like, moving really weird, and you just immediately get pulled down. And it's just keep repeating. Like, well, that sucked. I didn't do that good. Just keep playing it. Or maybe it didn't rotate. I need to look at a video of it again. I just remember that it sucked. But
yeah, either way, it was not that fun. I mean, if you could make do with it, like, when, yeah.
It could have been a really, when you got both, because me and Nathan were talking about, I think it was last weekend, I think, on our way to Mad Monster, because he was telling me about the game. And this is a concept that could have made an awesome video game. I mean, it could have been just as good as any sports game from like NBA Jam quality or from NFL Blitz or any of the I don't know what was popular football wise on Super Nintendo back then, but I mean,
they didn't really have anything like a Blitz. It was more like
captured the magic of Tecmo Bowl on the regular Nintendo. It's like they couldn't capture that again on Super Nintendo.
There's a game. It's like
those are heavily celebrated sports games. That and NBA Jam, but for reasons. And American Gladiators just seems like that had been such an easy way of, I don't know how they get screwed up. But then again, too, there's been so many great ideas for video games, from movie themed games to games that just look really cool. Like, how the hell do they screw this up?
It seemed like they always got these kind of like. Not sucky, I'm not putting them down, but you'd always get some of the other third-party developers that would make the games based off of TV shows or sometimes even great movies, cartoons, and it just felt flat because I think it was Game Tech that did American Gladiators on Nintendo.
That sounds about right.
So, I mean, it's like, what is Game Tech really known for? Like, you know, yeah, what would have happened if maybe Konami or Capcom or somebody, what if they would have got a hold of American Gladiators? I'm sure they would have put a lot more love and effort into it, maybe, but
it's like if Konami got a hold of it, it would be like a side-scrolling beat 'em up and you get to play as Nitro punching the shit out of everybody.
Yeah.
or when you're doing the Powerball, you know how it was with, you know, Rumble Ribble. Well, you know, they couldn't say double dribble on Nintendo. Yeah. And remember, you sit there and you'd go for the dunk and then all close up. So you picture them with Powerball. They're moving back and forth and they go to that and they go close up. Boom! And they do it that. I almost knocked my mask off again. God damn it. But we almost had a reveal live right here on the show. But that's some cool stuff. Like I said, that would have been something else. Oh shit. Now I know Tyler knows the name of it because I for some reason forget. Like I said, I always loved the events again, talking about the original American Gladiators. There was one I liked, but used to piss me off. Now, what was the one where they're wrong in the big cage ball? What was that called?
Atmosphere. That way you went to go play outside. Atmosphere.
Yeah, there you go. Atmosphere. Damn it, did that get me mad? Because sometimes when there's, of course, the people you're rooting for to really get on a roll and, you know, like get a lot of points, and you see them, sometimes they go right on that sensor. I'm like, they're right fucking on the sensor. Why isn't the smoke going off? It happened so much. That drove me nuts. And you could tell the contestants would get pissed because they're wondering, like, I'm on it.
Yeah, and they're standing there, they're like, what? And then the gladiator comes and just knocks them out of there and they tumble around.
That was probably the most frustrating to watch because especially if you'd picked out, you know, your red or blue contender for the day and, you know, it was so hard to get points, but it was a big deal to see anybody get on those platforms and see the smoke go off. Okay, they've got a point. They got to keep going here. And it was just it was probably the most taxing mentally to watch as a fan of that show just because it was just I don't know what made that game. And it looked extremely hard. I mean, there was a lot of those events. That's something we probably got to touch on, too. What looked the most difficult to do? Not what we enjoyed the most, but what looked... God, man, this looked... That and Hang Tough, where they had to swing on the circular grips and from side to side, and the gladiator's coming after you to grab a hold of you and drop you and pull you to the ground.
I mean, I agree with you. Atmosphere, I think, was probably the toughest because I think that
definitely had to have been the toughest of all the events they did.
Yeah, because you were right with what you said earlier. You know, you picked somebody that was your favorite contestant and you're waiting to see him really get on a roll and do something, no pun intended. But they would start moving that big ass cage and running, which that is taking a lot of energy, then trying to stop it. And when it's not paying off, you know, it only gets you more pissed. So it was frustrating to watch. It looked like they could have in a ball, but that looked exhausting and it was also frustrating. And then the Hang Tough, I always liked that too because they had to try to get a really good strategy because some of them gladiators were good to where how they were moving and then they would kind of like stay towards the center and they're waiting for that the contestant to make a move to try to go in a direction and they would just, zero in on them. Boy, and if they got them, they would latch on. And I always like some of them tough-ass contestants when a gladiator got off his thing, is hanging and he's shaking and jerking and he can't get that contestant. I was like, damn, you know, that was always cool, you know?
I think, too, sometimes with some of the events, it didn't have a proper payoff points-wise for what they just went through.
Oh, Like one or two, like maybe 5 points was like the max for some of them, and then it maybe had like 10 points. Or I think for the wall, if you made it to the very top, period, you got 10 points. If you stayed on and didn't get pulled off, you had 5 points, I think. Or was it 20 points?
I want to say it was 10 and 5.
10 and 5 almost sounds right to me too, but I'm not sure. But 10 and 5 sounds almost right.
Yeah, which I was glad to know that, like, in certain times, like if you weren't like on the wall, if you weren't pulled off, but you didn't make it to the top, because I remember on that Shout Factory release, they showed the women's have a different wall than the men. Like the men have got like a part of the wall that jets out and then goes up, whereas the women have got pretty much a straight wall. And I mean, I think for everything else though, the women had to do the exact same thing the men did. But it was, I felt it was kind of fair in certain events that if you could get like an extra couple of points for doing something, like I think Breakthrough and Conquer was one of those things. If you didn't make it through on Breakthrough, you could get 5 points in Conquer. So it was like you're going for 10 points, but you could still manage to get points leaving the game anyway.
Yeah.
Maze, you couldn't get any points unless you got out of it. Hang Tough, you could get points if the Gladiator didn't get you, but you didn't get to the other side. I think you got.
Was that 5 and 10 too? That maybe.
What's that?
I think you might be right. Maybe with that Hang Tough, maybe if you just hung in there, you got 5. But if you got past the Gladiator, you got 10.
An incidents where the Gladiator completely would miss him, and they would lose track of him, but the contender couldn't quite make it over. And I think they would get 5 points just for not being taken out. But I don't think there was a whole lot of others. Let's see, Assault. I don't think you got any points for.
You just got a point for firing each weapon. You got 1 point for firing the weapon, and 10 if you hit the target.
I'm hesitant to say that because I was trying to remember even if you made it all the way to the grenades, but you got hit, did you get 5 points for using the cannon, the bazooka, the crossbow, and the pistol?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that it worked as, like, you know, you got a point for shooting each weapon, but if you hit the target, you got 10. So you're right. I think if you at least just shot every weapon, but if you got to the end with the balls and then hit the target, I don't think they counted up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then another 10. I think they just gave you the 10 points. I think. It's been a while, but I know they used to give you a point at least for shooting.
Max points unless you hit the target, but if you finished it without getting hit, you did get, but within the time limit.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched this show, you have to survive the time limit. You can't win Assault unless you make it cross the enemy line into the time limit. If you don't do that, you don't get anything for firing all the weapons.
The funny thing, too, about Assault, watching some of the episodes on that DVD set, is those tennis balls are moving like 100 miles an hour, and you're looking as the contestants going through, and behind them, the studio audience is right there in that section. You just see people with like these giant pads just trying to like stop. And I'm like, there's no net there for the audience.
Oh, I never paid attention to that.
Yeah,
really?
It's kind of crazy to think about.
Yes, I'm pretty sure, like in later seasons, don't they, Nathan?
I don't know. I would have to go and watch. But I'm just sitting there. I'm like, these things are whizzing through here. What if this guy?
Ian had on the tennis balls are flying so fast that it's hard to even pinpoint. You know, where did it go? Where did the ball go? You know, it's or even that they got hit sometimes because that's what they do. It's happening so fast, and I mean, you could argue that Assault would be the hardest game because you feel like you're under such intense pressure to avoid being hit and trying to. And I mean, I've seen people get hit trying to get off the first weapon.
Yeah. No, it's always funny, though, to see them, like, they get behind the thing and they're trying to reach, see, like, these tennis balls flying.
Right through that little corridor there because the crossbow is the first one they fire.
Yeah.
The air cannon, that's the one where they always hesitate to, like, pull the trigger. And they
get
off, right, because they're always afraid they're going to get hit.
Yeah. It's like a shitty dodgeball that looks like it weighs nothing that just flies out.
I still like that. You're right. I liked when they'd go for the crossbow. Someone they'd reach right to go for the crossbow. Bam, right on the hand. There's people that got nailed in the face before. Like I said, I couldn't picture being in the crowd. You imagine if you got nailed, you know, without anything on your face, which is, I think they even tried to make sure the gladiators were protected also, because when you think of cannonball.
They're the one firing.
No, like, you know, picture a cannonball, like the human cannonball one where they would go flying down that rope and hit the gladiators. If I'm not mistaken, I think in the earlier season of season one, I didn't know if it was the whole season, the gladiators didn't have on a headgear, nothing. And I remember some of those contestants coming down with their knees jacking a gladiator right in the jaw. And, they, you know, bam, they're flying back. But I think they eventually got padded up in the face in other seasons, didn't they?
Yeah, they do. It's... I know they've got a lot of. I mean, they've got the big pads there, because they're supposed to say crouch down in a braced position there, like not to have their head fully exposed. But I think they do put cameras on a lot. I think even on that DVD release, to some of them, because they'll even show you the view from the gladiator's perspective too. Like for instant replay, if they got knocked off or something like that, you'd see it from their perspective, and it's a foam helmet with the camera in it.
They must have had helmets later then, yeah, because they didn't early.
But a lot of that stuff too, like the gladiators, like in Breakthrough and Conquer, they're not wearing any protective gear, just the contenders. And Powerball, they're not wearing any protective gear. I mean, of course, the gladiators are excessively much bigger than the contenders for the most part. Even though a lot of contenders are really lean cut guys or really toned up women. For the most part, their size is so much bigger that I guess they just don't worry about them being taken to the ground for anything and having, you know, head trauma.
But it would happen. You know, a hit's a hit. So, yeah, I'm glad they started protecting the gladiators on a lot of those events.
I think in Atlasphere, I think the gladiators did wear protective headgear, because I imagine it would probably be pretty easy to slip and fall when you're trying to run and run and run, and then you could slip and smack your head in that big metal sphere that you're running around in. Or at the end of the Eliminator, I don't think they're wearing any gear other than the big shield pad that they're carrying. That's about it. Women too. The women weren't wearing protective gear. It was just pretty much, you know, use the big pad you got.
Now, yeah, and it's like, go ahead, you know, Nathan, real quick. It's like what you said earlier, where in, you know, when they would go through at the end, Breakthrough and or, you know, trying to go through at the end of the last event of, goddammit, Eliminator. Thank you. I don't even know what the hell I'm trying to say, but Eliminator. And when you said they would hold them down, I think the other event was what Tyler said with the maze, is sometimes the gladiators would hold them down. I remember the rest would say, nope, gotta let them go.
They let them go, you know, because sometimes they would hold on to them. Like, you can't, you're just supposed to delay them. You're not supposed to.
And they did.
Mike was over there suffocating them with the pad.
He was a dick, but go ahead, Nathan. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you guys were talking about, like, you would pick your favorite contestant. Would you kind of do that at the beginning? You're like, oh, yeah, this guy looks cool. This guy looks goofy. I'm going for this guy. Would you wait for an event to pass and then be like, oh, he kind of hung around with these guys and got a lot of points? I'm
right from the beginning.
How would you decide who you wanted to root for?
Just by looking at him, like you said. Okay. I mean, well, I didn't usually wait for the first event. It's just either I thought, hey, that guy's cool. That girl, you know, you're going to say it. That girl's hot.
Yeah.
That's it. I was like, hey, I just, that's how it was. And shit. So yeah, that was me.
Yeah, that I pretty much, I would kind of be a little neutral at first, because like Nathan said, sometimes they would do something quite impressive. But then I would feel bad for the other contender who wasn't doing so hot. So I would kind of feel a little bit more inclined to hope that the underdog would kind of pick up his game and then he would just get squashed altogether. But for the most part, me and my brother both would kind of, you know, quietly kind of pick, you know, what didn't matter, you know, white, black, Hispanic, whatever, it didn't matter what kind of ethnicity. We're just like, okay, right, that guy looks, you know, if he's in red, we didn't have like a particular favorite color. It was just, that guy looks cool. That girl, she looks pretty tough. I like her. Or if she was just flat up, man, that girl's hot. She's my choice for the show.
Exactly.
I feel like 7-year-old Tyler just sitting there, like eating some chips, feeling bad for like one of the jobber contestants that doesn't have any points. Like, oh, come on, guy.
I would do that. I would, because I would pull for jobbers when I watched wrestling, whether they were, you know, oh man, it's, I was trying to think of what's, Barry Horowitz.
Yeah.
Patting his back.
him in all his job matches before I quite figured out, oh, man, he never wins matches. Man,
and there was the occasion Barry Horowitz would win. Like, what the hell happened? Barry Horowitz won? You know, just like when Steve Lombardi became the Brooklyn Brawler. You know, like, hey, he's kind of went, oh, nah, he's losing. So, no. Yeah, there's certain jobbers.
Sometimes it would, you know, but for the most part, I would pick a guy and stick with them. And it would just, you know, I'd have to sour grapes like, oh, man, my guy lost. But
oh, man, that would like bum you out the rest of the day.
No. I didn't take
it. Oh, there was the occasion like what Tyler said.
But I would be more impressed, though, even for the guy I wasn't rooting for, because there was a part of me, though, that always wanted to see the contenders beat the gladiators, especially in the Breakthrough and Conquer in the maze. I wanted to see them, didn't matter which one, I wanted to see someone beat, you know, Thunder and Gemini in Breakthrough and Conquer, just because I'm like, I want to see someone do it because it doesn't happen much and get through the maze. I wanted both contestants to get through the maze. Even if mine came in last, I still wanted to see them actually finish it. And with the women, you know, it was just sometimes it was just impressive to see them beat the gladiators. So I would be more taken aback by that and still enjoy it. My guy didn't win, but, you know, the guy in blue, he still managed to, get through the maze, or he got finished the wall, which a lot of times was not always done successfully either, because the wall was eventually, you know, was pretty difficult.
Yeah. And there was that occasion where maybe the only time I would then go against the person I chose, which was really rare, is, like you said, right at the start, I picked this guy, this girl. But if one of the guys showed a funky attitude or acted like a dick, then I'm like, okay, now I want you to lose. I want this guy to win. That's the only time. But
yeah, it was a cocky attitude. But I was a fan, though, if someone was making a lot of headway in a lot of the events, like consistency, like, you know, he finished the wall. He won in Breakthrough, but he didn't win in Conquer. And he got three points in that. I mean, I was always impressed by consistent victories throughout the show. It was like, that's really cool, man, to have someone that's doing that well. And then the Eliminator, I mean, there'd be times where someone just could not get through the damn thing, and somebody's completely done and finished in now you're just kind of waiting for the straggler to climb up the cargo net, finally go down the zip line and then go through the paper and hope to God that, you know, laser doesn't crush the hell out of them on their way through.
Yeah, finally someone mentions laser, because Joe was talking about how he thought Gemini, he looked at Gemini as like the leader. I kind of looked at Laser like the leader, because it seemed to me that Laser was always there, and he was always like the, to me, like the Superman of the group. Like, if you're looking at the male gladiators, like the Justice League, Laser to me was sort of like the Superman. He's like the just complete good guy.
He had that kind of look. I agree with that.
He just looked cool. He had a great build and everything. And Gemini was my second. I just thought Jim was just big badass black guy. He just looked the presence of him looked awesome. And then Nitro would round up my top three with an honorable mention to Thunder, just because he was just so big and impressive and just and then my favorite female gladiators. I had such a crush on Ice as a kid. I look back at it now, I'm like, gosh, Ice was so manly look size wise, but as a kid, I thought she was so pretty in the face and had pretty hair. I look back at it like, God, what was I thinking, man? Like all these like Blaze and Lace and Gold and like, all these other girls were so much more prettier and less, you know, big. And I mean, it was extremely impressive.
No, when it does come to the women, I mean, no, they're all pretty damn hot. But you're right, some maybe a little bigger than others. And like I said, Zap was the freaky one. But I give also what I give credit to for American Gladiators when it happened. I was like, I couldn't believe what they're saying, because I was wondering how she's doing it. But it was Siren. She was the deaf one.
Oh, and yeah.
And she was beautiful and amazing shape. But I remember when they first announced it, I was like, what? You know, you didn't even know that. I was like, but how does she know? Like, you know, when the whistles, you know, because she has to wait for signals to see what's going on. So you got to give her credit for when she'd have to do something. She's got to look for cues to when to start, when to stop, and just to keep going. It's like, I love that they gave, like I said, somebody a chance like that, because you didn't see that too often in many, you know, type of competitive things like this. So, and she, like I said, beautiful, beautiful woman, great body. And yeah, I didn't know what you guys, if you remember the first time when you heard about Siren, like, you know, heard she was deaf, like, really? It was just, it was amazing. I loved it.
Yeah, I know. I was the same way because they had that little video package where they kind of like interviewed her and showing some segments. Like, oh yeah, by the way, she's deaf, and I'm like, what? Okay.
Yeah.
How did she do that? But by God, she makes it look easy. They all did, and I would love to have seen like what the kind of training they're expected to go through, because these are not like traditional sports. It's not basketball. There is football, but it's not actual like football. And you know, there's not basketball. It's not soccer. The games are all original, and like the training of like learning how to play these games properly, taking down opponents without really trying to hurt them. You know, like, you know, not that it's encouraged in football and basketball, even though it happens a lot. But all these games, like the learning process of the, especially if they would, as the show would go on, they would incorporate new games into the show, like Atlasphere. You imagine when they introduced Atlasphere, crawling around, like the practice, learning how to do that and to safely push these balls that you're in safely and quickly to keep contenders from getting points. I mean, it's that along with the, because I think we're briefly told too, I forget, in some form or fashion, that there's dry runs with the contenders going through all these events to know what it's like to do that. Because Nathan and his girlfriend were laughing at this one girl with this goofy name because she kept getting hurt on the DVD set.
Yeah, Zimbob Schwartz.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that was her name, Zimbob Schwartz. I actually Googled her, and I think she's like in politics now, but she's just like got this, yeah, I'm just happy to be here. And she's got like that, she's got like the poofy bangs, because it was like 89, 90.
Yeah.
She's got like a mullet, and she's got like these big glasses. Her name's Zimbob Schwartz. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Chris, her during the kind of preliminary run of the show, like I guess when they're doing like test runs, show, you know, how do you do this? Can you make sure you can do it in front of the cameras and stuff like that? That she like bruised her thigh or something. So throughout this one episode, she gets taken down, I think a total of 3-4 times max. And she's just like, oh,
yeah. I think it was her hip that got bruised.
Yeah.
Some practice runs.
This lady is like glass. She just cannot, like, what? Not that I'm saying that, you know, anybody could do it, because obviously not anybody could do this show. Not all the, I think it's ballsy for every male and female contestant that came on the show to go out there and get their ass beaten around, you know, for probably what seemed like, because I'm sure the show is on for less than an hour without commercials, but to actually film the show, I'm sure was quite exhausting to.
Yeah, probably a lot of hours and time went into that.
When setting up each event and stuff like that, and you're probably backstage doing stretches and working with trainers to keep your muscles nice, clean, and warm and everything, and probably doing some. The gladiators are working out, you know, to get themselves, to give them a nice pump before they go out in front of the cameras and stuff like that.
I'm sure Nitro probably did a line of Coke.
Yeah.
You know, there's
ice his ass and stuff like that, you know?
Well, real quick, one person, Corey Matthews, I'm sure not from Boy Meets World, but Corey Matthews was like, yeah, he was wondering, like, where are they now would be really cool if we were, like, wondering where they are now. I'll be honest with you.
There is an internet article. I want to say Sports Illustrated did an article about some of the gladiators and where they are now.
I'll try to Google it. I'd like to see it, because I guess what brings it up is I remember growing up, there was a movie. I don't even know the name of the fucking movie, but I love John Ritter from, you know, Three's Company. And, you know, I just always liked John Ritter. And there was a movie where Zap was in it as one of these women he was dating, and she got naked. And that was when I changed my thought of Zap. I was like, she scares me, but damn, look at that. Zap is naked. I started, every time I'd see gladiators in, I was like, all right then. I was like, maybe I could, you know, just cover her face like this if I wasn't too fond of her face. But good God almighty. I don't know the name of that damn movie. If anybody out there knows it, yeah, look it up. But Zap was nude in some movie with John Ritter. And wow. Yeah, she was something there.
I may have to look just for the hell of it.
Yes,
yeah, for research purposes.
Yeah, it's just for research purposes. Exactly. I couldn't even remember. I think it was a comedy. I don't know, because, I mean, of course, you know, you're going to have John Ritter, you know, news. Like, you don't want to see that. It's like, hey, wait a second. You know, this is Jack from Three's Company. Keep it funny. So you didn't see nothing from him. But, of course, anytime the women are there, like, let's see what's happening. Yeah, she got naked. I just don't know the name of the damn movie. Yeah, it was when I was a kid. So I'm sure, like I said, nowadays you can Google everything to death. Like there was a movie I remember trying to figure it out. It's called Hero at Large with John Ritter, where he was like an actor or something, and he was doing like promoting this movie for this like comic book movie or something, and he was dressed up as Mr. Fuck, I don't even know, remember the name of the guy, but anyways, he was dressed up as this guy. And I always thought back in the 80s, like, what the hell is this movie? Because after we couldn't find it to rent no more, I couldn't figure it out. And of course, now you just Google Hero at Large. But yeah, things have changed. Good Lord, from sounding old to sounding ugly. I don't know. My mind went everywhere. It's like, God, am I that fucking old? But oh, Jesus. Okay, so, well, I think we pretty much wrapped up everything on American Gladiators. So I'll pass it to you, Nathan, if you have final thoughts. And Tyler, anything else you want to say about American Gladiators before we wrap it up?
It's obviously, you know, because usually when we look back on these things, someone always asks the question, do we think that this would work now? And obviously it doesn't, because they tried to do it. Maybe if they went back to some of the original concepts, it could, yes, it could work.
Not trying too hard, like whatever they did with one Hulk Hogan. It could work if they just wouldn't try to.
It's something that clearly could work. I think it could work at any time. It could work now. It could work 10 years from now. I blame the execution. I think that's what we all associated with the Hulk Hogan one, is that we didn't like how it looked. We didn't like the presentation. It looked you know, too, you know, it just looked like they were trying so hard to make it look like, oh, this is a big production. Look at all of this. You're like, dude, you're not getting it. It wasn't as fun. They were trying too hard, and I didn't say it. They got the gladiators being characters, and like, they're not characters. They're gladiators. They're not supposed to be these alternate personalities. They're supposed to be no different than what they are on the street. They're just being competitive here, and that's why I still feel like it still could have worked. It could work right now if NBC decided, you know what, starting in the fall of 2019, we're going to be bringing back American Gladiators, going back to the basics, and you know, we're going to bring in somebody, and we're going to bring in the guy who played Nitro to do commentary for the show. And, you know,
yeah, didn't they eventually move Nitro to like a commentary host position on the show?
Yeah, I thought he did do something like that. Yeah. The guy who showed up in a lot of movies and TV shows. He showed up on Saved by the Bell, the college years, as a karate instructor. He's been someone like, why do I know that guy? I'm like, oh, that's Nitro. But he would always be so much more in slimmer and build, I guess, because he wasn't on Gladiators at the time. God, it'd be so cool to like get in touch with one of these American Gladiators, I don't care which one, and ask him questions about like what it was like working on that show. God, I mean, I'm sure there's got to be someone, one of them available.
Well, hey, maybe if we're lucky, JSP mentioned in the chat room that Natalie Lennox, also known as Lace, was also a penthouse pet. Maybe we can get her on, because now I gotta Google something when we get off the damn show.
Oh man, Joe's over there just like, say, he's like, all right, how many of these female gladiators been naked?
Yeah, and I'm thinking, how much fucking longer are we gonna be on, so I can get off and I can Google this real quick?
Yeah, Joe's just gonna, hey, final thoughts, let's wrap this up. I got things to do.
I got loads to use and things to do here.
right.
I think a documentary on American Gladiators would be really fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. Talk about Donka and Adam Lee and all the gladiators that participated and the directors and everything. There's a story to tell there. And of course, Shout Factor, they interview Nitro. He does like, you know, a little bit of snippets about, you know, certain episodes and stuff like that. And it's like, well, that's nice, but that's not enough.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more to be asked about. And I'm just a junkie for trivia and stuff like that when it comes to movies and TV shows. So that would be something to learn a lot of the secrets of American Gladiators.
But it's a show that, and I take it back, because I said, you know, would it work again, and brought that up. And you know, Tyler, you are right. It was all in the execution of how they pulled that off. There's too much of a sheen to it. They're trying to like make it, it's almost forcing it down your throat.
Yeah, and it just wasn't a good idea.
Just the competition. Here's this person we pulled basically off the street here. That's kind of how they made it seem early on. It's like, we got this person here. Here's this guy. Like, they kept it simple. And you're right. That's what they should do if they were to bring it back.
And I don't know why people think that today's audience can't handle, you know, simple things. Like, it's got to be out there and crazy. I'm like, well, Hollywood, I don't know by now, you can make it as nutty as you want. Doesn't mean the audience is going to take to it. It's about the good idea behind it. And I mean, that show American Ninja that comes on NBC in the summertime, I mean, that looks like a big production, but it is fun to watch, and it's relatively simplistic. And it's you know, it's, I think they rely too much on all those like promo packages of like, I'm a lawyer, but I go home and I do this, and it's gonna be great, man. I like to wear, you know, swaggy pee on my shoes, man. It'd be great. And then it falls down and fails immediately. Like, God, I don't want to see all this. I want to see, you know, this is off topic here, but
no, hey, I mean, it always happens. Hell, I remember when Ninja Warrior was first on, when it was on G4 or whatever the hell the channel was, and it was Ninja Warrior, and it was from Japan, and they had so many seasons, and that just caught on like crazy, caught fire, which then led to American Ninja Warrior. But I was like, what the hell happened to Ninja Warrior? It's just, there was something, I don't know, a little more. Again, it's like, I don't need to know about everybody's damn life. And Ninja Warrior just got pretty much right into it. Yes, we knew about the fishermen, you know, like one of the guys and a couple of them, but it seemed, I don't know, a little more grittier and more competitive. And just, it, sometimes it'd be during the day, night, raining. And now it just seems like it's always a nighttime setting for American Ninja Warrior. And it feels, to me, what you're almost saying, a little more slightly polished. And I like it, but I don't like it as much as the original Ninja Warrior.
I get that, like, having never known any of the original stuff, it looks like a very polished show, but it's a good idea, and they focus too damn much on these promo packages of what the contestants do in their spare time in their real lives. Like, well, American Gladiators, all you know is that this guy is an accountant consultant from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and that's all you get. You do not need to know how this guy starts his day, what he likes to do with his little boy.
I hate that shit.
Have a glass of Chardonnay every Tuesday evenings before they watch, you know, Friends or something like that. It is strictly, they're here to compete, and that's all we care to see. And, you know,
agreed. My mind shuts down. You're right. The second they start these little retro packages about their life and how everything's going, it's like, I just sit there and I look down and wait, like, are they fucking done? Can we just get to them competing?
Yeah, I feel like a bad monster. I'm like, you know, just... I'm just ready to start flipping stuff over and, you know, and here, take my money, you know.
Yeah, no, it's like, oh, hey, look, it's that Nightmare 3 poster I didn't get signed last weekend. Damn it!
No, and what's even worse, not only about those packages you're talking about, Tyler, where we have to see when it happens, but they like doing it. They're like, and coming up, and then they'll show them like talking and doing this, and then when it comes up, we see it again. It's like, how many fucking times are we going to have to see this little package about them? Before the commercial, after the commercial, maybe even after they're done, it's like, enough. So,
and then after all that buildup, like, they fail at the first major obstacle that they come across. Like, great, you just spend 15 minutes hyping them up, and they sucked.
Yeah, they do that all the time on that show. And you know what? Then they'll show you snippets of three other guys who got it so far. But you know what? I would have rather have watched the guys who failed relatively quickly then watch the video package of the guy from Nebraska, you know, who's built his own American Ninja Warrior thing in his backyard here. And he, by God, he's going to come because he wears a cowboy hat and a wife beater, man.
Oh, no. You said it. Not only that, they make the package that before the commercial, then we see it after the commercial, then they compete. And like you said, Nathan, they fail on the first event or second event. Then they'll go to a commercial. And when they come back, they say, during the commercial, these three made it through the event. I'm like, where the fuck did we see these three people? I'd like to see somebody go through the whole thing and
complete. They weren't diagnosed with asthma when they were four.
Oh, man, I love it. I love our off topics, but that will be for another show. But damn it, this has been real fun. So, Nathan, I'll pass it to you so you can do all the wrap-ups of telling everybody where to go and what to do. And again, thank you, everybody in the chat room, for joining us. It's been a blast having you here with us. And go on to Nathan.
I did something different. If you come across this video later on, or these guys in the chat now, just click on the video description. Put all the links there to the Facebook page and the Podbean stuff. Everything's there, so I don't have to fumble through it anymore. I can just be like, give us a like. Check out these links below in the description.
So you don't have to say go to the Facebook page for this. Don't go to the Facebook to see Joe or Tyler or me on our personal walls. It's like, bam, check the links below. It'll take you where you gotta go.
Exactly.
Which gives Nathan the reason to say on each show, you, right here.
Yep, I can point down.
And also don't, yeah. Right, like, what
just stare.
don't forget to tell them about, you know, subscribing. Click the subscribe button.
Yeah. And then I, with YouTube, like, click that little bell. So it'll kind of give you, like, a notification when we are setting up a video or we've gone live. I'm sure most of the guys that watch us repeatedly have done all that stuff.
Well, we can all.
What's hey, that?
Yeah, you'd hope they have. I'm sure they have. We got, well, like I said, it don't forget to tell
him. Yeah, like, I see his mat, and then he's just like, ha, 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 ha.
Don't forget to tell them to share, too. They can like, subscribe, share, everything.
Yeah. Like, help us spread the word. Click and like everything.
Yeah.
Below.
So Lisa to like.
Still messed it up, I guess, because they're just staring at me like, oh, God, he fucked it up.
We're like, well, how do you wrap it up? I was like, before, it's like, go here, and blah, 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 and blah, blah. And all right, guys, and it was great. And until next time, we'll see you next week. It's like, but now we're like, all right, you click all links and like, all right, what now?
See, now I've made it worse. Made it easier, but made it worse to
he made it so easy. About. We don't know how to close the fucking show now. It's like, it's so weird. Just like, all right, click. Like, that was it? No.
Like, share, and subscribe.
Boom. Off. No, but it is good. Just like he said, he has all the links below, so you guys can definitely check all that stuff out.
I guess before we go, has anyone got an idea of the show next week? Do we want to tease anything for anyone?
You know what? I was thinking about this because of the recent release of the Cobra Kai teaser. I think we got to do ourselves a favor and do like a Karate Kid discussion. Like, what is the first film?
And maybe, all of them are just one, or maybe just discuss one, or kind of all of them? Or
like all three of the original trilogy, I think, need to be discussed like individually because there's a lot to be said. I know Joe's got a lot to say about the third one, of course.
Yes, I do.
But the first film, I felt like, you know, it's too damn good. And I know there's probably God knows how many videos are on YouTube of individual fans reviewing Karate Kid. It's infinite.
Do we have to include the next Karate Kid? Please
yes,
tell me.
Commentary episode of next Karate Kid with Hilary Swank.
What an amazing
piece of cinema.
Yeah.
For guys that want to actually beat her up, I was like, do these guys want to kick her ass? What's going on? It's like, what? Are we supposed to root on any bad person that wants to beat up on a woman? I don't know. What a fucking horrible movie.
That was just a thought because of the Cobra Kai teaser that had just been released. You know,
that's good. Let's do it because that Cobra Kai does have me, it has me excited. Sure, we can talk about all of them. And we won't talk about
The first film and then discuss, you know, because this is what the series is going to be taken on after is after the events of the first film, because it's about Johnny and Daniel, not necessarily, you know, Mark or John Kreese or anything like that. I don't know if he'll even show up in the show, but
yeah, you never know. But yeah, it's
or something, but I think that'd be kind of fun to discuss the first Karate Kid and then discuss the Cobra Kai teaser.
Sure. No, it sounds great. Just as long as we don't have to ever call the recent one Karate Kid, because in my mind, it's like it should have been called Kung Fu Kid. It's like he's not even doing karate, so why are we calling that Karate Kid?
Even then, something that was relatively close to the Karate Kid.
It just didn't make sense. I was like, he is not doing karate. He's doing Kung Fu. I know you guys are trying to copy the original storyline from Karate Kid, but it shouldn't have been Karate Kid. Call him Kung Fu Kid, and I wouldn't have been as upset. It would have been its own different movie. But again, that's a whole other thing. But yes, I think that's great. We can talk Karate Kid and the upcoming Cobra Kai YouTube series.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have YouTube Red to watch that, though. So
what does that mean? I'll be honest. I'm completely ignorant. What is YouTube Red?
YouTube Red is basically like the pay version of YouTube. I don't think you get the ads and all that stuff, but YouTube's starting to go in that direction. Like how Netflix has their own exclusive movies and TV shows, and Amazon's got their own, like YouTube's starting to do the same thing.
No shit, I didn't know that, so I can't watch this for free?
Nope.
No.
Yeah. Crying out loud.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it because I'm sure Nathan will always probably find someone like a rip source of it to you know put on a DVD or something like
that. Man, you can't be telling the internet all these things.
We got too much live shit. I'm shit in my bed. We're making burns. And
if anyone looked at me at the corner at certain points and you see me just kind of like do this and kind of start grinning, it's because I was going back and replaying that in my head and just trying not to laugh out loud while you guys are talking about looking at whoever's in penthouse and then
you realize we've been trying to wrap this up for like 15-20 minutes. This is the longest ending closing to a show in history.
Well, that's the fun part about it, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Love it. So see you guys next week, I guess. I don't know. Go ahead, Nathan.
I got nothing else to add other than this has been a fun episode and I look forward to talking about Karate Kid next week.
All right.
Tyler, see you got anything? We'll let Tyler, you close it out for us. Say some final words here.
Whatever, man.
Oh, wait, there is one final thing. Christopher Dahlberg said, finally. I don't know what he meant by that, but maybe he meant we finally wrapped it up. So, there you go. All right. Well, there you go. Yeah, see ya. I don't freaking know. Bye.
Yeah, we'll see everyone next week. Karate Kid. Yeah. Tyler pooping his pants.
Yeah.